And so hard at that. Too hard. All right, is everybody ready to get into the Word of God? All right, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to two passages of Scripture. And if you know me, we're going to look at more than that. But I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 13, is the one in the Old Testament. And then if you'll turn to Luke chapter 18. So 2 Kings chapter 13 and Luke chapter 18. And we're going to talk about, this is Bulldog Faith Part 3, and we're talking about persistent faith today. And I want to show you this scripture in 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 15 through 19. I'm going to read this out of the New International Version. It says, Elisha said, get a bow and some arrows. And he did so. And take the bow in your hands, he said to the king of Israel. And when he had taken it, Elisha put his hands on the king's hands, and he said, open the east window, he said, and he opened it. And he said, shoot, Elisha said, and he shot. And the Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over a ram, Elisha declared, you will completely destroy the Arameans at Aphek. Then he said, take the arrows, and the king took them. And Elisha told him, strike the ground, and he struck it three times, and he stopped. And the man of God, talking about Elisha, was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have defeated a ram and completely destroyed it, but now you will defeat it only three times. And this was an Old Testament story. If you've ever studied the story of Elisha, the Bible says that Elisha followed Elijah everywhere he went. He was a prophet, the prophet Elijah. And there was times when Elijah would say to Elisha, hey, go on, go do your own thing. And Elisha would tell him, nope, I'm sticking with you. There was something that Elisha had, a character trait that we need that God was pleased with. That's why God chose him. And this character trait that he had was he had what we call persistence. Look at somebody and say, persistence. And when Elisha, this was when Elisha was actually on his deathbed when he said this to the king, and he basically was getting on to him because he wasn't very persistent. He said, you only did it three times. If you'd have done it five or six times, God would have helped you defeat them all, you know, everything. And so he was basically getting on to him saying, you're not very persistent, dude. And here's what I feel like God is saying to us today with our faith, that we're not very persistent. And it just means is this. We're in this microwave society today. Like if it doesn't happen right now, well then, you know, well, just wasn't meant to be then. No, God loves persistence. And he wants us to be persistent in our faith. Just because it didn't happen the first time, don't give up. Look at somebody say, don't give up. Don't give up. There are obstacles. The enemy likes to throw in obstacles. He likes to throw in, you know, even like if we've had a failure and it's like, oh, you're a failure and it's not never going to happen again. You know, whether it's in business, whatever it is, it could be, you know, a ministry. It could be whatever. Don't take the enemy's word as the last word. God's got the last word. God wants you to stay persistent. So look at somebody and say, stay persistent. Okay, here's the persistence defined. Can everybody see that up there pretty good? Okay, we're going to be able to dim the lights in here, and it'll be a little bit better for next Sunday. But persistence defined is, number one, persistence means firm or obstinate continuance in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. Number two is persistence applies nonstop, constant, continual, steady, relentless pressure to a situation. And then number three, persistence does not let go or give up until all resistance is broken and the desired result is attained. Now, we're going to go to a scripture. I'm going to show you three passages of scripture today because I like to let the word do the talking. And we're going to see people in scripture that were persistent. And I just want you to be in tune to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you where you need to be more persistent at, okay? But this is in Luke chapter 18. I'm going to give you a little backdrop to Luke chapter 18. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible today. Just because I like how it words it. But this is the story of the persistent widow. And my daughter knows this scripture all too well, this passage. One of the things that my daughter has, Taya, is this word persistence. She is very persistent to the point where she is annoying. Anybody have kids like that? I'm talking get on your last nerve annoying because she is so persistent. And God has spoke this to me back when she was a little bitty girl and said, Mark, I know this gets on your nerves, but I like it, and you needed to develop it in her. Don't let her give up on her dreams. Don't let her get in situations where she had. And I noticed in life, you know, she had some life things happen to her where she had two ACL surgeries that she had to persistently go through, overcome those obstacles, and she still played college softball, and she went all 4 years and played college softball. But Jade and I had to encourage her in that. But we encouraged her, but her persistence got her through those setbacks and those times. But she is so persistent. And God, to the point where, I mean, you know, I'm talking and it's funny, but it gets on Jade and I's nerves sometimes. But God always gets on to us, say, no, develop that in her, keep letting her be persistent. And like, for instance, if she can't, even today, she's married, lives in Weatherford, which is an hour away, and if she can't get a hold of us, and I've told her, I said, honey, when you call me and I don't pick up immediately, that means I'm either on the phone or daddy's busy, and I will call you right back. I'll see that you called, and I'll call you right back. Well, here's what Taya does. She'll call me, she'll call Jada. If she calls Jada and she can't get her, she calls me back. And it's just back and forth until one of us answers. I'm like, for the love of God, leave a message and I'll call you back. Is anybody else having kids like that? I do too. But that is a very good trait to have, that persistence, and you need to develop that in your kids. I know sometimes it gets annoying, but that is a trait, a character trait that will help them in life to overcome hurdles and obstacles and failures. And so it's a good thing. All right, we're going to read Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. It says, also Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not turn coward. And that also means faint, lose heart, and give up. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither reverenced and feared God nor respected or considered man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, protect and defend and give me justice against my adversary. And for a time he would not, but later he said to himself, though I have neither reverence or fear for God, nor respect or consideration for man, yet because this widow continues to bother me, I will defend and protect and avenge her, lest she give me intolerable annoyance and wear me out by her continual coming, or at the last she come and rail on me or assault me or strangle me. He's like, I think she's going to kill me if I don't do what she wants me to do. Then the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not our just God defend and protect and avenge his elect, that's us, his chosen ones, who cry to him day and night? Will he defer them and delay help on their behalf? No, he won't. That's a rhetorical question that Jesus is asking. Verse 8 says, I tell you, he will defend and protect and avenge them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find persistence in faith on the earth? Will he find this kind of persistent faith on the earth? Or is he just going to find a bunch of people giving up? I'm not giving up on his return. Jesus is coming back. I also believe he's going to come back in my lifetime. I really believe that. And I want to stay persistent in my faith and not give up on that. But I want to go back, and we're going to go back and break this down. In verse 1, it says, also Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray. Jesus is teaching them this parable. I want you to get this, about prayer, about your prayer life, about you talking with God, and not to turn coward, not to faint, not to lose heart, and not to give up. So I want to tell you this morning. You can post and tweet this. Do not let up on your faith. Amen. Do not let up on your faith. Look at somebody and say that. Say, do not let up on your faith. All right, verse 2 says that he said in a certain city there was a judge who neither reverenced and feared God nor respected or considered man. Verse 3 says, and there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, protect and defend, give me justice against my adversary. So I want you to notice this. She kept coming repeatedly. So, yes, I believe in praying by faith. And some person said one time, well, I just prayed by faith and I just prayed one time. No, you need to keep praying. Because, and the reason why you got to keep praying is because you have an enemy that's going to put thoughts in your head that it's not going to happen. You got to keep praying. You got to keep coming repeatedly to the Lord and praying those prayers. Verse 4 says, "And for a time he would not, but later he said to himself, though I have neither reverence or fear for God, nor respect or consideration for man." And here's a big one, guys, and you need to write this down on verse 4. Don't let time affect your faith. Some of you have been believing for something for a long time, and there's been a lot of time go by. Don't let time affect your faith. Just because it's a delay does not mean it's denial. Amen? You got to hang on to it. Verse 5 says, "Yet because this widow," the judge says, "yet this widow continues to bother me, I will defend and protect and avenge her, lest she give me intolerable annoyance and wear me out by her continual coming, or at the last she come and rail on me or assault me or strangle me." I love what the New Living Translation said on this. It said, "This woman is driving me crazy, and I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out by her constant requests." How many of you ever had somebody just wear you out? You know, and you finally give in. You just, you know, your little kids, you know, "Daddy, can I? Yeah, okay, yeah, go cook dinner. It's okay. They're 2 years old because they've been wearing you out. Just go turn on the stove and cook it." No, I never did quite do that, but there was times it's like, you know, you just finally just give in, like, go do whatever you want. Just leave me alone. So I want you to post or tweet this, okay? Write this down. This is really good about persistence, because any time that you're believing God for something, a promise of his, I will guarantee you there's going to be resistance from the enemy. So persistence wears down resistance. I'll say that again. Persistence wears down resistance. If I could sum up this whole message today in one sentence, is that persistence wears down resistance. And then in verse 6, Jesus said, "Then the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says." In verse 7, he says, "And will not our just God defend and protect and avenge his elect, his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he defer them and delay help on their behalf?" That crying day and night is not begging, is not like, "Oh God, you know, it's bad, it's bad." What crying day and night is declaring the word of God over your situation. That's what crying day and night is. And then in verse 8, he says, "I tell you," this is Jesus, "he will defend and protect and avenge them speedily," talking about God our Father. "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find this persistent faith on the earth?" Now, here's what I want you to write down if you're taking notes. This is Luke 18, verses 1 through 8, kind of summed it up for you, the persistent widow. She didn't take no for an answer. She was relentless and insistent. She did not stop until she got what she wanted. She refused to give up, and she tenaciously, everybody say tenaciously, there's your good word, tenaciously, stubbornly, and persistently kept coming and would not quit. I'm going to leave that up there for a little bit. That is the word of God about the widow was persistent. How many of you are persistent? Okay. How many of you need some more? Yeah, sometimes, I'll be honest, sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not, but I need to be more persistent. And so this word for you today. Some of you are believing for some things right now, and you're going for it to manifest. You're going to have to stay persistent. You're going to have to stay on it. Don't give up on your faith. Okay, Luke 11, verses 5 through 10, and I'll come back to this here in a little bit, or if you'll ask me, I can show you my notes if you need more time to write that down. But I'm going to give you two more examples in Scripture about persistence that Jesus talked about, and one of them is a parable, this one right here. The other one is actually a story, and we'll get to that one in just a second, but in Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 10, and I'm going to read this again out of the Amplified Bible. This is the parable of the persistent friend. So we just talked about the persistent widow. This is where Jesus is talking about the persistent friend. You know, when I'm teaching the Word of God, when I look at passages of Scripture, and I've taught you guys this, you always let Bible interpret Bible. Don't let man interpret Bible. Don't just take one isolated Scripture and interpret it. Meaning you've got to read the before and after that scripture to interpret. Everybody got that? Let Bible interpret Bible. So I've done this for you, and when Jesus talks about this parable before he's talking about prayer. So evidently, we give up too much in prayer. We give up. We quit praying about stuff. We just give up. We say, well, God's not going to do it. I think we give up way too soon. And Jesus knows that about us. And so and he knew that about his disciples. And so he teaches on prayer, and then he tells them this parparable in Luke 11, verses 5 through 10. It says, and he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and will say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine who is on a journey has just come, and I have nothing to put before him. And he from within will answer, do not disturb me. The door is now closed, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and supply you with anything. I tell you, although he will not get up and supply him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his shameless persistence. Everybody say shameless persistence. God wants you to get shameless about your persistence and insistence. He will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you shall find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door shall be opened to you. That's Jesus talking about that. So you got to keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. And stuff will be, you got to be persistent. And this is Jesus talking about our prayer life. You've got to be persistent about what you're believing for. All right, everybody learning something today? All right, here's the next one. In verse 10, Jesus goes on and says, for everyone who asks and keeps on asking receives, and he who seeks and keeps on seeking finds, and to him who knocks and keeps on knocking, the door shall be opened. All right, here's Mark chapter 10, and this is the story of when Jesus healed blind Bartimaeus, and I want you to notice how persistent he is, and I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. It says, then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. And a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. And when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, because he couldn't see him, he was blind, right? He just heard that Jesus is coming. He could hear the crowd. He could hear the people following him. He began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And everybody that was there, because he was shouting this and he was shouting it repeatedly, he was screaming it, the people started telling him to shut up, be quiet. Many of the people were yelling at him to be quiet. But he only shouted louder, son of David, have mercy on me. Now this is what I love. Whenever we're persistent in our faith, it says that Jesus heard him and Jesus stopped and he said, tell him to come here. Jesus couldn't see him, just heard this man screaming for him. He was being persistent about it. And Jesus stopped right there in the middle of the crowd and everything and says, tell him to come here. So they called the blind man and they told him, cheer up. They said, come on, he's calling you. And Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and he came to Jesus. And he said, what do you want me to do for you? That's what Jesus asked me. And you're like, Jesus, dirty dir. You know, this guy's blind. You know, what do you think? And here's what I want to say. Some people want to be healed and some people don't. And this guy, and so Jesus was wanting him, I need you to persistently tell me what you want me to do. Some of you are just crying out and you're not being specific. You need to cry out specifically what you want God to do. Amen. Amen. Some of you are being too general with God. God's up there. And here's, you know, I just looked at my wife. Ladies, here's a little marriage tip 101. Men don't get generalities. We don't understand that. I know you think that we ought to just know what you want us to do. We don't. So tell us specifically what to do, and we will do it, and you will love us for doing that. But when you sit around waiting for us to figure it out, guess what? We will never figure it out. We don't read minds. We won't ever figure it out. And it's that's our relationship, you know, our marriage relationship. The same with the Lord. Sometimes we're just too vague and just too general and, you know, God bless me. And so God's saying, how do you want me to bless you? Where do you want me to bless you? You know, is it financially? Is it your health? Is it all the above? Be specific with the Lord. And when what it does is, and what I've noticed is I'm trying to do this in my own prayer life, when you're specific with God, and then he specifically answers, it just takes your faith to a whole nother level. It really does. It builds your faith. So get specific with God. Look at somebody and say, get specific. So this is what happened with Bartimaeus. He persisted until he got his healing. And Jesus asked, "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And that's where, you know, when I read that, I was like, duh, Jesus, this dude's blind. And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. So Bartimaeus was persistent. He was there's too many S's. He was specifically persistent until he got his healing. He was fed up with being blind, and he was like, "I'm not letting this man get by me. I'm not letting Jesus pass by. He's going to hear me. He's going to stop." And he did, even when people were telling him to shut up. And sometimes there's going to be family members are going to tell you, "You know what? You just need to quit believing for that. You need to shut up." That, you know, that's the code word. And that's when you need to cry out even more. Amen. So this man, Bartimaeus got persistent with his faith. He wouldn't take no for an answer. He relentlessly pursued Jesus. He was not about to shut up until he got what belonged to him, and he refused to quit. So this friend, this parable that Jesus talked about, the friend, and the parable of the persistent friend, and then this story of blind Bartimaeus, they both applied what I call nonstop, constant, continual, steady, relentless pressure on their covenant with God and on the devil, too, that you're going to give back what you've stolen from me. They did not let go. They did not give up until all resistance was broken and their desired result was attained. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, one more scripture for today. Is everybody learning something today? Next week, we're going to talk more about this bulldog faith. I've just been trying to break this down every Sunday to give you a little bit to take home so you get in the Word, get into the Word. That's how you build your faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But Galatians 6, verse 9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." It's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Let us not become weary in doing good. Some of you in here are getting tired because you're doing the right things. You're believing God. You're praying. You're in the Word. You're tithing. You're giving. You're doing all the right things, but you're starting to get tired. And you're just about to, you know, throw in the towel. And God's saying, don't become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. The key word there is don't give up. Amen. Look at somebody and say, don't give up. I'm going to end with this today, little story. Most of you in here are from Western Oklahoma, so you know what duct tape is, what gray tape is, right? And you know what this is, WD-40. I got this out of the garage this morning. This stuff works wonders in life and around the house and different things. And by the way, this is going somewhere, I promise. This is a can of WD-40. And I grew up on a farm 15 miles northwest of Leedy. And I had to, you know, we had a farm and ranch. My dad worked in the oil field, pumped, you know, wells. And then as Matt and I got older, we had a lot of responsibilities on the farm, feeding cattle, plowing, all those kind of things. And I have plowed my share of farm ground, I can tell you that. And I always remember there was four things that was on the floorboard of the tractor. And if you grew up on a farm, you understand this. It seems like there was always a crescent, there was always a screwdriver, there was always pliers, and there was always WD-40. And somebody said, "Well, there wasn't a hammer." Well, you could use the crescent as a hammer as well. I mean, it was twofold. So, but I chose this because I found out this week when I was studying about persistence, this story about WD-40 came up when I was studying, and I did not know this. So I'm going to pass on this tidbit of information today. It may help you to win a game show someday or something like that, but or you can impress someone with this knowledge this week. But does anybody know what WD stands for? I should have said, Frank, you can't play this game. Frank is the smart man in here. Frank, be quiet from now on. That's exactly what it means. I knew that Frank knew this, right? When I was looking around and surveying the crowd, I was like, there's probably one guy in here that knows this, and that's Frank. WD, that is, water displacement. That's what WD means. And there's so many uses of this. I found out that you can use WD-40 as a bug repellent, okay? So, you know, I'm looking over here at Colton, of course, the baseball. Congratulations to our baseball and softball team that won district. Amen. Yes, going to regionals this week. But I found out WD-40 is a bug repellent, so you can use that, you know, out on the ball field. Of course, I know the bugs are about done for now, but the guys will be asking why you smell that WD-40. I also found out that, I know Frank, if I ask Frank, he probably knows more uses than I do about WD-40, but one of the things about WD is you can spray, because it is water displacement, like Frank said, you can spray your boots with it and, you know, your shoes and make your shoes waterproof. So that's kind of nice. Water displacement displaces the water from your shoes. You're probably saying, well, I wish I'd known that this week when we had all the rain the other day. But here's the thing that I want to, and Frank can't play on this one, but does anybody know what 40 means? I know Frank knows. But the word, the number 40 means it took them 40 tries to get this right. Didn't happen on the 39th one, it happened on the 40th one, and they got it right. And so that's where the name WD-40 comes from. And now, you know what, and everybody's looking at me, so what does that mean? They didn't give up, and because of that, we all have this in our houses, in the floorboard of our tractors, and thank God they did not give up, because now we have WD-40, and I think it's better than gray tape. You need this and gray tape together to... But it's awesome. This stuff is awesome, WD-40. But that's where it comes from. That's where, now you know. Look at somebody and say, now you know. Now you got all this wisdom and knowledge when you walk out of here today. But the whole key of that WD-40 example was don't give up. It may take 40 tries. I hope it doesn't. But some of you are giving up. You try one time and you give up. Some of you have tried to start a business and you're like maybe on the 10th time. And God said it may take 40. Look at somebody, say it may take 40. Amen. All right, does everybody learn something today? Okay, I want everybody to bow your heads in here this morning. And I want to make sure before everybody leaves today, and those that are watching by Church's Aid, and those that are listening by radio, that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, that if we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer. It's a prayer of salvation. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer for me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross for me. And rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. All right, I want everybody to stand up in here and I'm going to speak a blessing over you. Can I do that? Jada, will you join me up here, babe? I'm going to speak a blessing over you, and then after I speak that blessing, Jada and I are going to go back here so we can see everybody this morning. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. And from this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Looked at somebody and say, I've got bulldog faith. Amen.